From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns returns to verse 18 of chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul wrote, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." It is the final phrase of the verse upon which Dr. Cairns focuses. Part of Romans chapter 1 declares that God has left mankind without excuse as to the demands of his holy law. The knowledge of God and what he requires is engraved upon every man's conscience. Yet man in his rebellion chooses to suppress that knowledge. It is that suppression of God's truth which is the foundation of sin. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the opening portion of a message entitled, Stifling God's Truth. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Confidence Not Misplaced. The text is found in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 7. The Lord God will help me. These are in prophecy the words of Messiah in the day of his obedience unto death, when he gave his back to the smiters, and his cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. He was confident in divine support, and trusted in Jehovah. O my soul, thy sorrows are as the small dust of the balance compared with thy Lord's. Canst thou not believe that the Lord God will help thee? Thy Lord was in a peculiar position, for as the representative of sinful men, their substitute and sacrifice, it was needful that the Father should leave him and cause him to come under desertion of soul. No such necessity is laid upon thee. Thou art not bound to cry, Why hast thou forsaken me? Did thy Savior, even in such a case, still rely upon God, and canst not thou? He died for thee, and thus made it impossible that thou shouldst be left alone. Wherefore, be of good cheer. In this day's labors or trials, say, The Lord God will help me. Go forth boldly. Set your face like a flint, and resolve that no faintness or shamefacedness shall come near you. If God helps, who can hinder? If you are sure of omnipotent aid, what can be too heavy for you? Begin the day joyously, and let no shade of doubt come between thee and the eternal sunshine.
Oh,
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're glad that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We continue to receive encouraging responses to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. Our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, briefly sets out the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church. This and any other literature we offer on these broadcasts is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Alan Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as, why don't Jews accept Jesus as the Messiah? Does God practice deliberate deception? Or, why doesn't God save everybody? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Tonight we're returning to Romans chapter 1, and we're going to be reading from verse 18, from the 18th verse of Romans chapter 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. We finish at verse 23. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. In this passage of Scripture, Paul is elaborating upon a very solemn message. In context, he is saying that in the gospel, God has revealed the way in which he justifies sinners by faith in the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mankind stands in urgent, desperate need of this revelation of righteousness that he describes in verse 17, because, verse 18, the wrath of God stands revealed already against all men's ungodliness and unrighteousness. In past studies, we have already considered the reality of the wrath of God. That is a theme that man would fain obliterate from Holy Scripture. The wrath of God. It is interesting that in the New Testament, while any inspired writer may be the vehicle for conveying this or any truth with ultimate authority, nonetheless, and I believe it is because of the peculiar terribleness of this truth, God so ordered it that it was not an apostle who expounded this great truth, at least in its fullness. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. And of all the preachers in the New Testament, it is Christ himself who most frequently, most fully, and most finally defines, describes the wrath of God, the reality of God's wrath. Because there is wrath, beware. That is the message of Scripture. That is a word that needs to be brought to men and women today when there is little or no fear of God before the eyes of men. Because there is wrath, beware. Then we thought of the revelation of God's wrath. We noticed that it is being revealed. The wrath of God is not something that is held over merely to the future. We tend to think that the wrath of God comes at the end of a Christless life, or it comes after the great judgment day. And while that is true insofar as it goes, the revelation of wrath is not something held merely for the future. If you look at your Bible, you'll find that God's wrath has been revealed throughout history. What was God's movement against the world in the days of Noah's flood, but the wrath of God? What was the burning of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain but the wrath of God? What was God's mighty judgment upon Israel and then upon all the surrounding nations in the days of the prophets? It was the wrath of God. What was it in the day of Christ when he cried, "Woe unto thee, Capernaum! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! Woe unto thee, Chorazin!" These cities in which most of his mighty works had been done. What was he declaring against them? It was the wrath of God. Throughout history, we see that wrath. And it would be a capital mistake for us to imagine that the movings and the revealings of the wrath of God were limited to biblical history. In providence, we see God moving throughout all history, right up until this present time. And while I must admit, we are very apt to misread the book of history without the interpretation inspired by the Holy Ghost in Scripture, nonetheless, it is absolutely true that the wrath of God is being revealed. And as we go on down this chapter in future studies in the will of God, I hope that the fearful reality of that statement will grip every heart. Because when we get down this chapter a little bit, we are going to see something that is as up to date as tomorrow morning's newspaper headlines and stories. We're going to find God revealing America. And I say America not exclusively, but it's not much use me preaching about Ireland when I'm in America, any more than it's useful for me to preach about America when I'm in Ireland. We will find God setting forth America as it really is. And we will discover that the wrath of God is being revealed. The revelation of God's wrath. And of course it still awaits its full and awful and final outpouring in the future. If anyone doubts the reality and the revelation of the wrath of God, he has only to visit Calvary. For there the God who spared not the old, the angels that sinned, and then the old world in the days of Noah when it sinned, spared not his own dear Son. There you have the greatest demonstration of the wrath of God in all history. The center cross on Calvary. We have noted the reason for God's wrath. It is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. All ungodliness and all unrighteousness. Some take that to be sins against the first table of the law and sins against the second. Sins against God, sins against men. That may be true up to a point. I think that this is a description of sin in its totality. Sin in its root and sin in its fruit. Sin toward God with all the wickedness that that then produces. And they hold, we are told, the truth in unrighteousness. And that is what causes the wrath of God to be poured out upon them. The truth here in this section, at the end of verse 18, the truth, they hold the truth, is what theologians call the truth of general or natural revelation. The Westminster Confession of Faith, in its very first section, in its very first chapter, says, "Although the light of nature and the works of creation and providence do so far manifest the goodness, wisdom, and power of God as to leave men inexcusable, yet they are insufficient to give that knowledge of God and of His will which is necessary unto salvation." But in creation, God reveals, manifests, makes plain His goodness, His wisdom, and His power. At least that. This is the truth that sinners hold in unrighteousness. Now, what does it mean that they hold it in unrighteousness? That is two possible meanings. And I'm always intrigued when you read the experts, the linguists, the commentators, the theologians, how that one will come down on one side and say the Greek can mean nothing else. In context, it must mean this. The usage demands this. And the other one will say the Greek can mean nothing else. The very opposite of what he's saying. And they can all be so very, very sure. Now, most of the time, they're just showing just how very certain of themselves they are. I'm going to say that there are two possible meanings. In fact, I'll go further and say that the word is bound to hold both meanings, because if it didn't hold the first, it couldn't hold the second. The first meaning is, the word means hold in the sense of possess. They possess the knowledge of the true God, but they pervert it by the sinful use that they make of it. Is the text saying that? I believe you've only got to read on down through the context, and you'll see that's precisely what the text is saying. It's saying that all men, every nation that ever existed throughout history, possessed the knowledge of God. Not going to anticipate what we'll say in chapter 2, but there we discover God has gone so far as to write His law upon the heart of every man who ever lived. They possessed the knowledge of God. But what did the nations do with that knowledge? They perverted it. The whole ancient world is one vast example of it. Do you notice that with that knowledge, men never, never, never arrived at the true worship of God, or the worship of the true God? From that they devolved, or developed, a whole system of theology that was wicked, idolatrous, and a denial of everything that God had ever revealed about Himself. The modern world is no better than the ancient. Men possess the knowledge of God. That's why ultimately it is a fool's game to try to prove the existence of God to an atheist. You may as well try to prove His own existence to Him. For at the heart, He knows the one as much as He knows the other. They possess the knowledge of the truth, and they put it to a sinful use.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.